Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we have some words from the Apostle Paul given by the Holy Spirit to him, to the Christians in Ephesians. He said, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." It may be that verse, I'm not sure, but there was a question that was posed to me and other candidates who were studying for the ministry when we got to seminary. The question was, what is your relationship like with your father? Now, for some of us, we might have outlived our father. What was your relationship like with your father? If your father is still alive, what is your relationship like with your father? It's a very telling question. And the reason we are asked it is because that relationship often shaped who we are. And it also determines what respect we have for authority. And so it's a good question to ask. Now, you may have in your lifetime had several spiritual fathers. I'm referring to pastors, those whom God had given to you to bring you God's word in its truth. We call them spiritual fathers. But you only have one earthly father. Only one. And there is so much to thank fathers for, isn't there? You can thank them for their care, you can thank them for their love, their provision, their forgiveness. You can thank them for compassion, their compassion, especially in times when you deeply need the loving embrace of a father. Now, all of this to give thanks to God for a father, well, it actually starts with God the Father. There would be nothing of our unity, our existence, our family, if it wasn't for God, as we hear, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. You see, our Heavenly Father is not just the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just the Father of those who believe in Him through Jesus. No, He's the Father of all. He's the Father from whom every father-headed group or family in heaven and on earth gets its existence and lives and has unity. In a way, it's cosmic. You see, when the Apostle Paul first spoke these words to the Ephesian Christians, there was a situation there where both Jewish people, descendants of Abraham, and those who weren't descendants of Abraham, they were being brought together as one in Christ. And they could only be that because of God the Father. And He's also the Father of all the family of the saints on earth and the saints above, the very saints who have gone before us and worship with us right now. But He's also the Father of the biological family, of father, mother, and children. They're all, every one of them, only happens because of Him. And so every family, every unit of existence, it being together and sitting together, it has to give thanks to God for it being. Now, sadly, many of these families, well, they've been demonized or abused. But that does not stop, it does not nullify the fact that God is the Father of all. And so today is a day where, thankfully, we mark fathers. History tells us that it took us a little while to get to this point. First of all, we celebrated Mother's Day for a number of years. And I get that. There is something special about mothers, because it's a mother who brings a new child into the world and feeds that young child. That's something a father will never experience. It's a godly gift for mothers. And so we celebrated Mother's Day for quite some time before the thought was, well, perhaps we should have a day to celebrate fathers and to give thanks for them, to them, and especially to give thanks to God for being the father of all. Now, sadly, even though everything starts with God, and like I said, the family units can really struggle, sadly, not all relationships that children have with their father are actually built on God's love. Just is the way it is. And so human sin results in sadness within the family. But I need to say, you only have one father. And no matter how poor, how inadequate, how undisciplined a father may be, that's who you get to love. It's just that in those relationships that are damaged or broken by sin, love has a distinct look about it. It means that you have to be careful how you respond to a father like that. What you say, what you do, and it may even involve having to move away from a father for a period of time, or maybe a lifetime, to be safe. That's the sad reality that takes place. And if that is the case, you need to know that your Heavenly Father has made a way for you to work with that, to really love your father if he's like that. Because every time you come into God's presence, your Heavenly Father's presence, you get to bring your earthly father with you. If he's still alive, you get to pray for him. And if he has gone ahead of you into eternity, then you get to thank God. And you get to thank God for still being the father of all. And when you come to the Father's table, Holy Communion, where you receive the very body and blood of his Son, you get to pray for your father. And so God has made it a way to work with things, no matter what our situation in life is. And as he does this, we get to see something quite unique that's different about God the Father and earthly fathers. You see, there's one uncompromising difference between God, our Father, and our earthly Father. You see, God never has to ask to be forgiven. He never has to. Why? Because he's pure, he's holy, he's righteous, he's just, he's good. He never sins. And so he never has to ask for forgiveness. Pretty cool to have a father like that, isn't it? But it also means that earthly fathers, we get to live out the love that we have received from Christ in a different way, because we're often in a position where we're called on to ask our children to forgive us. And therein is a beautiful blessing again. This is only possible because of knowing the Father, your Heavenly Father's love for you. It is he who in love sent his Son into the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And in that love, there we can draw on that love and know that we are free in Christ to go to a child or children and ask to be forgiven. And to ask them to bring us God's forgiveness. And in this way, we give glory to our Father in heaven. Now, you might have heard some sayings that come up. You know, I had one when I was a bit younger. I was told, your father doesn't have to be alive while you are. What was meant by that saying? Well, it was meant you're the splitting image of your father. And it's true, isn't it? We often hear the phrase, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Correct. Exactly what the sayings are. But in this case, we need a father who is an image that I can't be. My children need an image of a father that I'm not. because I don't always love as I should, I don't always care as I should, and I don't always provide, forgive, or have compassion as I should. And I'm slowly picking myself up, I don't always say thank you as I should. And so what a beautiful thing to have a Heavenly Father that is all of those things. And to live with a heart that recognises one's weakness and trusts in Him. Now, God's people have never been any different to this. We had the reading from Deuteronomy. There in that reading, we heard how God had chosen His people, and now they were going into a land and He had given them lots of laws and things that they were to obey, ordinances. And a lot of people get this wrong. They think, well, all God was in the Old Testament, He was just a God of law. You know, you had to do all these things. Well, we're past all that. I'm sorry, but that's a wrong understanding of what God was on about for His people in the Old Testament. You see, all of those laws, all of those ordinances were so that God remained with His people and continued to bless them. You see, He had called them, not because they were strong, not because they were powerful, not because they were mighty. No, He chose them because they were weak, they were poor, they were pathetic. And in choosing them and making them His children, He showed how powerful His love is. And as they followed what He had said to do, they enjoyed, and pick up the word that was in that reading, you will remain in Me. It's about remaining with God, because He's already chosen you. You'll remain with Me. And not only will you remain with Me, you will be a witness to all the other nations about your wisdom and understanding. True wisdom. And so God had a way of encouraging them in their life with Him then. And He still does that for us today. We heard that with Joseph. Pretty amazing, really. He's a man that believes in the Father, the Heavenly Father. He's a righteous man, that's what that means. And so he listened to God, even though when he news comes that his betrothed, Mary, is pregnant and he knows he's not the dad, God comes to him and he, by faith, listens to God. And he takes Mary as his wife. And then when he's told that their life is in danger, well, actually before that, when he's told about naming this child, he doesn't boastfully come up with the name himself. He receives the name given by God for the child. I don't know if any of you have struggled to name a child. I have, quite a few times. And it took till the fifth child until I finally got to name one that I wanted to name. That's a longer story. But I knew that I was going through that process seeking what God wants the name for this child. And other times in those first four children, God chose someone else to bring the name to me. Remarkable story. And so Joseph follows what God says, and then when the child's life is in danger, he takes the child to Egypt. He's obedient again. This life of faith, this life of listening to the Father, His Heavenly Father. And then when it's time to go back to Israel, he follows God's word again. Bit of coming and going, toing and froing, and yet because of the love that he knew God had for him, he followed joyfully. He remained in God's love. And that's what God wants for us too. He says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me. So that's who we are as His baptized children. God bringing those people together in the Christians there in Ephesus, the Jews and the Gentiles together, through the Apostle Paul, God wanted to work in them. And so after he had said, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that's your father, that's the father of love for you, and you'll know no greater love than that. He went into prayer. And he said, I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. And this is the life of an earthly father, to pray, to ask God out of his glorious riches to use his power to work in the hearts and lives of his family, that the Holy Spirit would work in the heart in that faith for Christ to be held in the hearts of the children. Are you a father that has neglected to do that? Have you struggled with children that no longer see Jesus in their hearts by faith? Then I encourage you to look at your Heavenly Father's love for you. There's no greater love for you, because it's in his love for you that he sent his Son to that cross for you, to carry failure, to carry shortcomings, to carry what you didn't do. And he's done that. And you are to draw on the forgiveness, the cleansing blood of Jesus that is there for you, so that you, in his forgiveness, peace and freedom, you can live out your life as an earthly father to your children and to your grandchildren. But it didn't stop there either. Paul also prayed that they would be rooted and established in love, that they would have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how high, how wide, how long, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. What a prayer. And that's a prayer that Jesus continues to pray for you and for me. That we are rooted and established in his love, and that with all God's people, we have power together with them to grow deeper, to keep grasping, to keep enjoying the mystery that is ours in Jesus. God's love for you, a love that's no greater. You'll never find a greater love for you than that. And as we live in that love, we get to experience relationships, because drawing on God's love for you, the Father's love for you, that's what shapes. That's what leads you in your life. That's what will lead you in your role under his authority to be the person he's created you to be the person he's given responsibility to look after, the person through whom he will continue to work into the lives and hearts of those around you. And so there's great blessing in being in these places with him. I remember an occasion with my son, one of my sons. He had a habit whenever I was in vision of his presence, didn't matter how far away he was, he would run towards me. And he'd run towards me and he'd leap up and he'd land up on my chest and in my arms. And the first things he would say was, Dad, I love you. And I would get to hold him in my arms as he nuzzled in there and expressed the love he had for me. Amazing. That's the love your Heavenly Father has for you. He's come running for you in his Son. He's held you and he's holding you in his arms. It's because he said, I love you, that you will want to run to him. And you can. You're free in his Son, Jesus, to run to him, to hold him dearly in all he says in his word about what he's done for you through Jesus' death and resurrection for you, and to hold on to that, and knowing that he has you in his everlasting arms. The love your Heavenly Father has for you also leads you to speak the last words of what we have here from the Apostle Paul, given by the Spirit. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within you. To him, God your Father, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Yes, today is a day to give thanks to the Father, your Father, even if that Father has outlived you. Give thanks to God for that Father then. It's a day set aside to give thanks to the Father you have that may be still living with you. And it's especially a day to give thanks to God the Father, through whom you have life, blessing, and the certainty that whatever this life holds, he holds you, and that he will hold you now, and you will enjoy being held in his presence in heaven forever. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in your heavenly Father's love through Christ Jesus your Lord, from this time forward and forevermore. Amen.